Today on Jeff's Podcast.
I'm so glad you joined me today for this podcast. I want to share something with you that happened to me just this week. I had a dream. Now, the scripture says in Joel that your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. The older I get, the more dreams that I have. Now, I know that some dreams are caused by eating pizza too late or, something going on that subconsciously is affecting my brain and my thoughts as I sleep. But I believe, as do many of you, that God speaks to us through dreams. If you've read one of my books, you know that several years ago, the Lord gave me a couple of key dreams. It's not something that happens all the time. In fact, there was several years between a couple of those key dreams that I've written about. But more and more lately, I've been having dreams about things. And so I seek God because I don't ever want to feel like something that I've dreamed that God didn't give me was some sort of, direction or anomaly that I needed to act upon. So I've been praying about this dream. You know, I struggle sometimes whether to share something in a podcast or to go live with it. And I feel like this podcast is really the best way that I can share what's going on and how God's speaking to me and to be a blessing to you. This podcast every week, my goal is just to be a blessing to you, to be an encouragement to you, to give you something, a piece of bread that you can hold on to from God's word. And I felt like this dream is something that I want to share with you. And a passage of scripture just continued to kind of invade my heart and my mind. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to share some of this with you out of the New King James Version. Then I'm going to tell you about the dream I had. Listen to what Paul writes. But know this, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, before I read on any further, as we read this, Paul wrote it from a prison cell in Rome. And he wrote it about 67 AD. He would not get out of prison this time as he had the previous time. He would leave that prison cell only to be martyred. But even in the midst of Paul's persecution, I often wonder when I read this passage if he did not see centuries into the future, that perhaps God showed him centuries, perhaps 2,000 years into the future, at some of the things that Christians would be experiencing and suffering in our day. Even then, Paul was being persecuted. Now, his persecution probably isn't anywhere near some of the persecution. Our persecution today is nowhere near what Paul experienced. Paul was in great danger, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was in great danger, but I have to wonder if Paul didn't see into the future and begin to warn Timothy, to warn the others, because when you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, this second letter that he writes to young Timothy, this seems strikingly obvious that it is applicable not just in Paul's day, but in ours almost 2,000 years later. So let me read this to you. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We can stop right there and see that in our latter days. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's a mouthful because I see every single point Paul is making to Timothy in 2020 going on. Around the world, we are seeing, we are in the last days, we are seeing the end times in real time. But what I want to point to specifically, there's always a specific verse, and that verse is verse 13. In verse 13, Paul says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, in the age of social media and technology, anybody can get on Facebook and go around the world with their thoughts, their philosophies, their opinions. And, you know, we do what people do. We do what I do. Yesterday, for instance, I fell down the Facebook rabbit hole. Have you ever done that? I mean, let's just be honest, okay? It's easy to do because you don't have to click over to another page. All you have to do is with a flick of a thumb or a forefinger, you just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I scroll, I'm usually looking for a picture or a video, something. I'm a visual person. I don't read every post. I'm, you know, scrolling for something to catch my attention, and it's usually something I'm just looking for encouragement or looking to see what other pastors are saying and things of that nature. But sometimes I just, it's kind of like the technological version of daydreaming. I just fall down the rabbit hole. What I mean by that is just, you just fall down the hole and it gets deeper and deeper and you never get to the end. That's what we in my family and friends refer to as the rabbit hole. And just, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes can go by and you have wasted time scrolling. And when you do that, you come across anybody and everybody who wants to give you their opinion. Or they want to share something that they agree with or believe in. And there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God we live in America where we are free to have our opinions and say what we want to say and believe what we want to believe and worship how we want to worship. But there has never been a time when we have to be more careful about what we listen to, about what we expose to our eyes and ears, because of what Paul warns Timothy of in 2 Timothy 3 and 13. Evil men and seducers will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Social media and technology makes that more possible than it has ever been in the history of the planet. To be deceived, you don't have to be lured in by a false prophet to a place, or, you know, you don't have to be lured away to a compound in Waco, Texas to be deceived. I say that just because I was there just a few weeks ago. You don't have to be lured into a church building or a hall or a hotel ballroom or a gymnasium to listen to someone who is deceived and perpetuates that deception. You don't have to do that anymore. You can be deceived sitting in your own home. You can be deceived sitting in your Lazy Boy with your phone in your hand and just scrolling. That's all you have to do to be deceived, because there's going to be somebody on there. If you scroll long enough, you're going to cross the path of someone who is deceived and is perpetuating that deception. They are saying what they are saying, even though that it is false, because they have been deceived. And then that deception then began plants a seed. You have to be careful what you expose your eyes and ears to. You've got to be careful about listening to just anybody and watching just any video, because deception breeds fear. I'm going to say that again so it'll sink in. Deception breeds fear. Paul goes on to say this, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." There's a lot of things that people have tried to teach me that I'm not so sure of. Things that ideas and philosophies and opinions that have been spoken, that I have heard, that others have tried to perpetuate, that's never been proven in my heart, in my life. But there is one thing that I am sure of, that I have learned and that I have been assured of, and that is this book, the Word of God. Today I happen to have a honest to goodness bound leather Bible in my hand rather than my iPad. Sometimes I just got to go back to the way it was before. We did everything by phone and iPad. There's nothing wrong with the Bible on your phone or your iPad. It's the Word. It's not the physical book that has the power. It's the Word that has the power. But I still love the feel of a leather-bound Bible. I have learned this. I have proven this. I'm assured of this because the promises of God in it have occurred in my life. Therefore, I should continue in this, and anything that contradicts the Word of God that I am assured of, I need to purge from my mind. Don't be deceived by every person who posts a live broadcast for you to watch. Don't be deceived by every article you read. Don't be deceived by everyone who looks like a preacher. I have had to go through Facebook, and occasionally I'll see something that someone posts that is just off base, false doctrine, false teaching, goes against everything I know to be true in this Word. And it's not about being friends or not being friends. I still want them to hear the Word that God gives me. I just mute that person and keep on going because I don't want to hear that nonsense. I don't want to hear anything that is not the Word of God, because the Word of life, the Word of God is the Word of life. Paul said, continue in what you have learned and been assured of. I am sure of this book. Anything that's not in this book, I don't want to hear, because I don't want to be deceived by evil men and seducers who will get worse and worse. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why in the world would people believe XYZ? Why would people believe that? Because they are deceived. And the only thing that you and I can do as blood-bought believers who are filled with the Spirit is to counteract that with the truth. God's Word is truth. Truth is the intellectual property of God. Period. And so Paul told Timothy, continue in what you have learned and what you have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Go back to the Word. I believe God's calling His children back to His Word. We have to stop taking our cues from Facebook live videos. Now, I'm not against, I'm one of those people who occasionally will do a live video. Most of the time, I'm just narrowing my focus onto my weekly podcast, but I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with a pastor or preacher or someone who feels God has spoken to them, or they just want to get on the social media and encourage someone. There's nothing wrong with all of that. I'm talking about evil men that are deceived. I'm talking about people who are deceived, who perpetuate that deception onto others. People who are speaking things that just don't agree with the word of God. Don't be deceived. The only way you do that is to stay in this book, because it is the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. And you can't go wrong with the word of God. Now let me tell you about this dream in light of what I've shared with you out of 2 Timothy 3. The other night I had this dream, and again, I have never claimed to be a prophet. I've never used that title. If God uses me in the gifts to give a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or to prophesy, I want to do what pleases God, and I will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. However, I will never claim that title. However, I believe that there are times God has given me prophetic dreams. I've written about three specific dreams that God gave me over the course of 15 years. One of them just leads right after the other, by the way, in the connection, the connectedness of those dreams is uncanny. Three dreams, 15 years apart from the first one to the last one. But when I began to put them together and God showed me those three dreams and put them together, unbelievable how God has opened my eyes and given me revelation. So those are really the only three dreams in my life that I felt were prophetic, and I feel like God just gave me another one. Now, I'm going to preface this dream by saying my persuasion here is not political. It is not social, strictly spiritual. I'm responsible to tell you what the Lord has told me to tell you. I'm not responsible for your misunderstanding of it. So don't send me a nasty gram talking about how I'm wrong and I'm being political. I'm not doing any of that. I'm simply sharing with you what my dream was. If you take something else from it, I'm going to tell you what I believe it means. If you take something else from it, that's on you, okay? I want to put that disclaimer out there. It's sad we have to do that now, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't these days, people are just looking for a reason to divide the body of Christ, and the body of Christ in a time when we ought to be united is more divided than we've ever been, and we allow ourselves to be divided on politics. So I'm putting that disclaimer out there. I hate that I have to do that. But I do this with a pure heart, okay? I had a dream the other night. I struggle to illustrate the details of the dream, to paint a picture for you, but I'm going to try to do that. All I know is that I was in a large city. My wife and I were in a large city. And we were trying to get to the subway tunnel. We like to go to New York in the every year at the Christmas holiday to kind of do the New York Christmas thing. We didn't do that this year for obvious reasons. And maybe this is the pretext for the dream, because the Lord knew I would understand. We were trying to get to the subway tunnel, but the place where we were, we couldn't get to the subway tunnel because there was a crowd of people. I mean, literally, there were hundreds of people crowded around the entrance to this particular subway tunnel. And someone said there's been a mass casualty event. It's a very powerful dream. A mass casualty event, like a subway crash or the ground collapse or something happened that many people died. See, you're already trying to draw a political conclusion from it. And I'm going to warn you just not to do that. Hear me out. And so we were wondering, you know, what's going on here? What's happened? The police had barriers up. They were not letting anybody through. You obviously couldn't go down in. We were just standing behind the barriers with this multitude of people, waiting to hear, you know, what happened, what's going on, just kind of being onlookers. And I kept catching out of the corner of my eye. Again, I'm talking about a dream. I kept catching out of the corner of my eye this woman. I don't know if she was black or white. I don't know if she was tall or short. All I know is that I saw this woman and she looked important. She looked official. She was dressed very prim and proper. There was something about her, not just her clothes, but the way she carried herself, that I believed that she was an official of some sort, government official, law enforcement official, whatever. And she kept making eye contact with me as if she was trying to get my attention. And she kept kind of motioning to me to come to where she was. She was kind of doing it quietly. I mean, there were literally people pressed in everywhere, but she was singling me out, and she was kind of going like this. So I went to where she was, and she kind of motioned. She never spoke to me. She never said a word. She just kind of motioned. She turned around to begin walking and motioned for me to follow her. And we went around the corner through the barriers and began to go down this flight of stairs. And I felt like that we were going down into the subway station. And I thought, she's going to take me down here and show me what's going on. And so I followed her down these stairs that kind of took a couple of twists and turns. And I saw this door, and at the bottom of the door was just this small little area where there was a little bit of blood. And we were in this subway station, and there was nobody down there. There was nothing happening. There was no destruction. There was no death. There was no injury. There were no people. It was completely empty. Completely empty. And then she motioned for me again to follow her up the stairs and back out to street level. And in this dream, I woke up after that. In this dream, I believe what this person was showing me was that there were a group of people, hundreds of people, a multitude of people at ground level, listen to me, who were being told that destruction was happening, that many people had died. It was a mass casualty event, and were being held back and being told that something bad had happened. But this woman took me down to show me there was nothing there. I want to pause for a moment and let that sink into your mind and your heart. I woke up so intrigued and began to ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? I was thinking about it in terms of the pandemic. Obviously, the pandemic is not a hoax. There is a pandemic. I contracted it. Many of you contracted it. Many people have died. And though I do believe that the media has used it to perpetuate fear, and we've focused so much on it, we've lost our peripheral vision. That's all I'll say about that. But I don't believe God was speaking to me about this physical pandemic, this medical issue that's come upon the land. So I said, Lord, if it's not about the pandemic, then it can't be about the pandemic, because there is something there. There is danger there. But it's not about the pandemic, then what is this dream about? This that people are being deceived, that there is a mass casualty event in a certain place, and there is nothing there. And that's when he began to lead me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, specifically verse 13. I heard it in my head. For evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what's happening. Deception breeds fear. Do you hear me? God is not the author of the spirit of fear. Deception brings fear and many other things, but one of the things deception results in is fear. I believe that not only is there a physical pandemic that has struck this world, there is a pandemic of fear that has come upon the world. And it's begun to creep in the church. And we are being deceived to believe that in this hour the church is being destroyed, that the kingdom of God is being destroyed. We are living in such fear. Even believers are living in such fear. The enemy has convinced us that if we don't stay behind a line, that there is mass destruction. And God is watching all of this happen. God's watching us as we are afraid and live in that fear and make decisions about that fear. We won't send our children to school, and we won't go to the house of God to worship many times, and we don't want to gather together for holidays. I know this sounds political, but listen to me. The church is under attack, and it's being done under the umbrella of public safety. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see any public safety going on when I was out with my family on Black Friday. I didn't see any public safety when I was traveling to preach a couple of weekends ago and the airports were filled, or when I was going to Texas and the airport was filled. In fact, the week of Thanksgiving, the authorities said that it was the highest traveled week since March when the pandemic lockdowns begin to happen. There's not a lot of public safety there. We're picking and choosing. But in the midst of all of this, the church is being persecuted. And while the enemy has drawn a line and said, if you cross this line, it's mass casualty. If you cross this line, something bad's going to happen. If you cross this line, you're going to get sick. If you cross this line, you're going to be arrested. If you cross this line, listen to me, when the devil draws the line, you have to make a decision whether you are going to be deceived or you're going to listen for the voice of the Lord. When the seducing begins and the deception begins, you can either believe it and therefore walk in fear, or you can do what Paul told Timothy, believe and continue in what you've been taught and what you are assured of. I'm not sure about all that's going on. I'm not sure about what's going on globally with this pandemic. I'm not saying it's a hoax. I'm saying I'm not sure about everything that I see, the numbers and the regulations and the opinions of this doctor that are different than the opinions of this doctor, and the CDC don't agree with the WHO and politicians don't agree. I'm not sure about all that's going on around the globe as it pertains to this pandemic. I'm not sure about everything that's swirling around the hurricane of information in the political realm. I'm not sure about everything that I see on Facebook. I'm not sure about all of the things that are being told to me to believe. I'm being told to believe so many things. I'm not sure about all of that. But there is one thing that I am sure of, and that's this word. And I can believe it because God has proven it to me. I've learned it and been learning it since I was a child. From generation to generation, it's been passed down to me. And I have been, not only have I learned His word, but I am assured of His word because He's proven it to me time and time again. He said, this world will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So instead of focusing on the whirlwind of things, the information overload that you and I are being told to believe, and as we are in line to be deceived one right after another with the things that the enemy is perpetrating, the devil has drawn a line, and where the word of God says you can do this, but the devil draws the line and says, no, you can't do that. You better stay behind that barrier. Listen, I'm telling you, just like that lady in the dream took me behind the barrier of the enemy to show me there's nothing there. I've come to tell you there is nothing behind the enemy's threat. There is nothing behind the devil's arsenal. There is nothing behind it for which I should have to fear or be afraid or to hunker down or to back away from my calling or to forsake my destiny. I'm telling you, the devil has drawn a line and said, don't come this far because there's danger. And the Lord sent me to tell you there's nothing behind the devil's threat. I believe God is speaking to someone today, even as you listen to this podcast. This dream is not about the pandemic. It's not about the political atmosphere and climate of this nation. It is about the devil trying to convince you that there is something behind his threats of destruction, his threats of poverty, his threats of tearing down and stealing everything that God has given you. And the Lord sent me to tell you over this video, this audio podcast, however you are listening or watching, to tell you, as he showed me, there was nothing going on behind the barriers of that dream. The enemy has tried to convince you that you must not cross a line because he's threatened if you go that far, if you come any further, I'm going to unleash my fury. But God sent me here to tell you today that there is nothing, no power, no substance, no truth behind the threats of the devil, your adversary. And you ought to rejoice today that God, greater is God who is in you than he that is in the world. The enemy would like you to believe that there is a mass casualty event taking place, not only in the world, but in the body of Christ. And God is speaking to us, keep going after what I've told you. The lines of demarcation drawn by the enemy have no bearing upon the life of a child of God, because we are protected. We are safe in the right hand of the Most High God. Don't be deceived. Watch what you listen to. Watch what you allow to come into your spirit. And know this, that there is no power behind the threats of the devil. If you look under there, if you allow through the Holy Spirit, if you allow yourself to see through the eyes of God and to see beyond the barriers, you'll see there's nothing there. No threat, no power, no substance, no authority, nothing behind the threat of the enemy. No weapon, the Bible said, formed against you shall prosper. So stop making decisions based on the threat of the devil and start making decisions based on the Word of God. Stop living your life in fear as if the devil is going to unleash himself on you. This pandemic, look, everybody's afraid. Nobody wants to get it. People have died from it. But don't be deceived. Be informed, but don't be deceived. Don't be wrapped up and caught up in the hype and the fear and the hysteria. That's not God. You can't do that. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, a sound mind. I've seen some people that have lost their ever-loving mind over this pandemic. That's not from God. That's from the enemy. It's deception. Keep a sound mind. I've been sick. I thought I had it back in February. I came back from a book tour. I had been in 5 states in 9 days, and I came back and was the sickest I had ever been for 10 whole days. Fever every single day, body aches, all these symptoms. This is back before, you know, a lot of people knew what COVID was and before it had really been perpetuated on the news. And so they weren't testing for it. Doctors didn't know to diagnose it. I was just diagnosed with bronchitis, but I was convinced that that's what it was in retrospect, and came back from Louisiana preaching just about 60 days ago and contracted it, had a fever a couple of days and some body aches. So I get it. I've had to do it. I've had to quarantine myself. I've had to call people on the phone and say, hey, if you were around me, you probably should quarantine. I get it. I understand it. I'm taking it seriously. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen some people that have lost their ever-loving mind over this COVID. You can't do that. It's a line the devil has drawn. But I'm telling you, there is nothing behind the threat of the enemy. Psalm 91 said, no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. That doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. It means that God's going to keep you. Are you listening to me? This is a plague. It came into my dwelling, but I did not receive and accept it. I said, Lord, it's here. Here it is. I've been diagnosed, but I'm going to hold on to the healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go forward. Yes, but Jeff, people have died. I understand that. I get that. I'm not here to debate COVID with you. I'm here to say there is no need to lose your mind and get wrapped up in the hysteria over it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Pastor, lay leader, church member, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. If you've lost your mind over it and you live in such fear that it dictates how you live, I'm not talking about not being safe and not taking precautions, but if it dictates how you live because of the fear and the hysteria, it is not of God, my friend. Keep your head up. The devil's drawn a line because he knows that if the church, listen to me, he knows that the church advances beyond where we are on the brink of the greatest revival that has ever struck this country, and that's why the devil has drawn a line. But there is no power, no authority, no substance, no merit behind the threats of the enemy. I came to tell you that. I hope you'll be encouraged today. Get the book, get your Bible, and put the word inside of you. Do what Paul told Timothy. Continue in what you have learned, knowing who you learned it from, that which you have been assured of. We've been assured. I don't know about a lot of things, but I know about this book. It will never pass away. And you can believe what God says in His Word. I love you. Sorry I went a little longer today. I hope you're encouraged today. Share this. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Google. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Be encouraged. Share it with someone else. I can't wait to see what God says next week. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform or Jeff's YouTube channel. For more information about this ministry, visit us at jeffwolf.org. Just released is Jeff's newest book, 10 Reasons Why. You can get it free by texting the keyword RESTORED to 833-649-1545. Message and data rates may apply. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.